What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. And this is an episode with Scott Euculus. And this is a cool story. So Scott owned restaurants for many years, about 15 years, I believe, and used to be a customer of Schedule Fly. Not only that, he was on this podcast when he owned his place called Hog and Rocks in San Francisco. And he was featured in our second Restaurant Owners Uncorked book that we published in 2017. So he sold his restaurant in, I think, 18. And, he mentioned that he was getting out into consulting and stuff. And he and I have not talked since then. Well, we got reconnected just a few weeks ago because he's now with Spot On. And Spot On is a great POS company that is just taken off over the last few years. It was recently valued at like $3.6 billion. They're growing like crazy. They're doing great work. They didn't charge customers for like a year or something during the pandemic. Scott talks about that during this interview. Monthly pricing. There's no long-term contract. So, very similar to Schedule Fly in their model for pricing and in their model for service and how they are very, very customer focused. And it's just a joy and a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to Scott, let him share that story, check out Spot On. What a great company. And let's get right to the interview just in a minute, because first we're going to hear from our sponsor, Pop Menu. So Pop Menu is a partner of Schedule Fly, a great partner, and one that we're very proud to have a partnership with this company. You all, they're a really good business. They have a great product, and they have great customer service. So Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple-to-use platform that integrates with most point-of-sale systems, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy-to-update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand-new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their new AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. And y'all, they've answered over a million phone calls with this for customers already, and just so much more. So, and I'll say this, I can say confidently that we have a lot of mutual customers at Schedule Fly that use Pop Menu, and I've talked to a lot of those customers, and they're very happy with both the product and the service. We've seen a lot of customers that have switched from a very well-known other company that that builds websites for restaurants and does a good job, but Pop Menu is just on another level, y'all. So check them out. In the little show notes for this episode, you'll see a summary about Pop Menu and a link. Hit that link, go check them out, and enjoy this episode with Scott Euculus of Spot On. See ya. All right, everybody, Will here with Schedule Fly, and this is a cool episode because I've got Scott Euculus with me, and he's with Spot On. And we were recently reconnected by a customer of ours that is on the board of advisors at Spot On. And I did not know Scott was there, but several years ago, Scott was in our second Restaurant Owners Uncorked book. He had a great story. He had a place in San Francisco called Hog and Rocks. He did things. He just had a very unique way of approaching everything, very creative and unconventional, and has always done that. And I'm assuming, Scott, that you've kind of leveraged, what you learned there to, and I guess you shut that down. What was it like, 2018? And made your way through a couple of businesses, and now you're at Spot On. So first, just thanks for connecting again. And second, congratulations on being, making that move and being a part of a very fast growing and very widely admired company.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. So cool to reconnect, all these years. I think that just proves how small the industry really is, but, and for those, looking to get into the industry and think about all the ways to get involved, I think really proves there's not just one way, right? And so, as being a chef owner for so many years and now working in restaurant technology and can have many passions, a lot of ways to get around it. So I'm here now.
Well, dude, so you okay, so you had Maverick, which was apropos, great name for a business. And then you had Hog and Rocks, and your brother Kevin and you, I know we're, he's over there at Loma, and we had him on the podcast, Loma Brewing, and you were involved in that. When how many years do you own restaurants for a long time, right?
Yeah, from 05 to 18. So we opened Maverick. A good old friend of mine and I talked him into running the front of the house, and I'd do the back of the house. And we made a good pair, and we opened Maverick in 05 and ran that. And then in 10 we opened Hog and Rocks. And I remember the first month, or maybe the second month of opening, a for sale sign went up in the window of the building next door. My business partner decided to buy that building as well. So we opened and we gutted it. And then in 2013, we opened Hilo Barbecue, was short-lived. But then in 2016, we opened Loma. Kevin and I did. So he quickly took over, and that team still running it today. But in 2018, I had an opportunity to exit. A good friend of mine, Anthony Strong, was worked for Delfina Group for a long time, when basically an institutional group in San Francisco, some of the most popular restaurants, made the mission. And he wanted an opportunity to buy our place. So I said, here we go. It's all you, buddy. Unfortunately, the pandemic hit for him, and that didn't work out so well, but he's continued on to do his thing. But so, everyone made moves. Maverick had the Maverick died because we had a fire. So, that's what happens. Kitchens, playing with fire, burn the place down.
Well, what let okay, so you're there, your buddies, makes you an offer to buy Hog and Rocks. I mean, you were doing well, and you like I was so impressed with you when we talked, and I was like, man, you just had just such a unique way of approaching things and such a creative mind. What made you decide to exit, the business?
Well, it's interesting because I always felt like we were trying to do something totally different, and be, there's so many restaurants in San Francisco kind of follow the same model, and we really believed in having like a true neighborhood place, and I think that's where we really stood out. Like, and with Hog and Rocks, so we could go shop and have the finest ingredients for the market, and make these great incredible connections with oyster farmers and the ham people in Kentucky, country ham people in Kentucky, but also have a baseball game on, and people could, it was just an everyday kind of place. And I think San Francisco tends to really try to, I don't know the nice way of saying it or a great perfect way of saying it, but we try really hard to be ultra creative and try to really push the envelope and and pair ingredients differently and think about restaurants differently. But it doesn't have to be that way. Not everyone wants that kind of place. So and I and but as time went on, we San Francisco is a tough, as most people know, it's a tough place to do business, not just from a competition and a lot of great restaurants and only so many mouths to feed. But we had to think about it from a financial perspective, and what it, we're running a business here. And if at a point where, your goals of being profitable, which we always were, they start to, diminish. But you're still seeing the number of covers, either, had flatlined a little bit, but always still like a vibrant, fun place to hang out. It was never dead. It wasn't slow, but we just weren't making the money that we wanted to make. And the risk was too high, the reward was too low, and we put emotions aside, and we put on our businessman cap and said, okay, we gotta do what's right for this business. We gotta do what's right for our investors. We got to do what's right for our family.
Yeah.
So we made the move. And, you know, and I will say too, like, there's also, I looked internally and I was like, you know, kind of burnout is a strong word, but, you know, there was a sense of like, I've done this, I've been there, I've accomplished my goals that I had set when I was 16 years old, when I entered the business. You know, I'd always wanted to be a restaurant owner. I always wanted to, I love the, you know, the serving others and being, creating a vibe. And, you know, I got that from my uncle, Edward, who's, you know, done that for decades in New York City. And that's what I always wanted to do. And so, you know, was that, to do the math, you know, that's nearly 25 years later. And I was like, okay, I did it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Fine. I have other passions. I have other ways to contribute, you know, for my family and for myself. And, you know, let's set some new goals. And, you know, and still young. Like, you know, I opened Maverick when I was 29.
Yeah.
So, I know I spent my 30s and into my 40s, you know, slinging it. You know? It was fun though. We had such a good time. Made some money, but yeah, on to new things.
Well, you know, so you've been with Spot. Well, I think if I saw correctly, this is two years this month, right? February of 21. Is that when you
it
started?
Is, yeah. It was 2 years. Yeah. The first.
I was checking your LinkedIn profile, trying to get ready for the conversation, make sure I was prepared.
Well prepared.
So Spot On is, wow. And I mean, I want you to tell us a story. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's restaurants and technology. We're not always best friends for a long time. There just wasn't a lot. And in the last 5 years, the amount of restaurant technology that has blossomed has been amazing to see. And it's great to see all these businesses that are providing these incredible tools to restaurants to make their lives easier, to make them run more efficiently and more profitably, and have more time to focus on, you know, the human to human interaction. And Spot On is certainly, you know, in the leading edge of that. I think I saw recently the company was valued at something over $3 billion. So it's been a very fast growth trajectory. Tell me the backstory about how Spot On got started.
Matt and Zach Hyman are co-founders, twin brothers, Bay Area natives, and they started up. They were in payments processing business it's been over 20 some years now, but they started a company and then sold it and decided to then get into the start a loyalty company. So that was like 2011 or so. And realized that pretty quickly that you having loyalty sitting aside a point of sale without payment processing, there was some, you know, pieces missing and they weren't really connected correctly. So they paused, kind of reassessed, and realized that if we bring in loyalty and point of sale and payments all in one, then I think we really got something. And, you know, in cloud-based system, POS systems were really starting to find their footing. Like, you know, Toast, I think, started in, you know, 12 or 11 or whatever they claimed they did, somewhere around there, an Upserve or Breadcrumb at the time. And there are others were bringing, you know, were kind of coming into the fold, you know, as this new system replacing, you know, Micros and Aloha and all these other, you know, legacy systems, as we call them. And so they ended up buying a company called Imagine. It's out of Detroit. Gentleman, started that company, had already, this was his third point of sale company he had started and developed and made. And so, yeah, so next thing you know, we're bringing loyalty and payments and point of sale together, and they had a pretty good strong following at that point, you know, mostly Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, Michigan, Florida had seeped out. And when the pandemic, that was in 2017, so 2018 we're really starting to like get our name out there and trying to push, but weren't doing a lot of marketing, but we're getting there. And then the pandemic hit, and that's when they realized, you know, that's when everything changed, right? That's when they're like, we need to have online ordering, we need to have contactless payments, we need to have, you know, QR codes, all these things had to be developed. And so our competitors decided to, you know, kind of, they pulled back, you know, and they said, we're going to cut half of our staff and we're going to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And we doubled down, went the exact opposite way and said, no, we need to support our restaurants now. These are the small business owners. Everyone's super scared. They didn't know what was going to happen. We need to provide them the tools to survive, like literally survive. How, if I, yep, my whole dining room is closed, what am I going to do? Like, I have to pay my bills. I have to, and, you know, I have, yep, to, like, put food on my family's. I got to stay alive. I got to, most important, I got to support my employees. So what am I going to do? And so we doubled down and we gave away, you know, everything for free for almost a year, for a little over a year, actually. And I think that really resonated. We used that and people understood that, like, who, what kind of company we were. And still to this, and even now to this day, you know, about three years later, we try to set ourselves apart as we know we're in a people business. We have a very strong local feel to our company. We have account executives in every city, every state, and they're there to support small businesses. And, you know, we do restaurants. We also do other businesses as well. Yeah, so now we're, you know, and of course after we threw all those products out there, and we've made, you know, 400 product updates since then, and really, you know, made the product stronger, and we raised a ton of dough. Since I started, I think we've raised almost $1 billion, and put that valuation at, you know, 3.6, I think it still hovers at. So we've been more than, you know, doubling business since then in the restaurant space over the last 3 years. So it's been a heck of a ride, and it's really cool to be part of. And you know, and now we're, you know, our idea is to try to become, you know, more of that household name. Really, you know, we spend a ton of money on marketing and really trying to get out there. And, you know, people still don't know about us. That's fine. We understand, but we're, you know, we're several years behind Toast, and we're even more years behind Square, Clover, you know, Lightspeed now, but Upserve and Breadcrumb, they've been in this game for a while. So we're just really starting to, people are really starting to understand what we do, what we believe in, our mission, or our values are. And I think that they've taken that as a major positive side with us.
So this is a very interesting part of this conversation to me, because there are, you mentioned, a lot of competitors. There's a lot of great technology out there. One of the things that I've started to have this conversation with restaurant owners, or they have, you know, brought this up in conversations about, you know, about our company, about Schedulefly, that they're starting to look at, just as they would look at their purveyors of the food that they buy, that they serve to their customers, they're, you know, and who those people are and how they run their business. And they're beginning to look at technology companies and other providers in the same way. What's, you know, the technology's got to be great, no doubt about it. And it's got to, you know, it's got to do what it's supposed to do, and it's got to work and be reliable and continue to, you know, provide great value and continue to grow and evolve. But they also seem to be spending more time, and maybe this is because of COVID, thinking about who is it that we do business with? And very importantly, I think, to this mix is how do they serve or service their customers? I'm assuming that y'all are really hanging your hat on that. And I'm imagining that you're probably having that conversation or hearing that a lot as well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, 24/7, 365, within 2 or 3 minutes, someone's going to pick up the phone, you know? Yeah. And that is not something that is not seen and heard of very often in this business, not just from point of sale, but across the board in technology. Automation has ruled the world for a couple decades here in terms of customer success. And yeah, we feel that, no, we're going to invest in the people to help the people that need help, you know, and that, you know, we don't look, we're not perfect. Technology's not perfect. So things go wrong. They need someone to reach out to. And the cool thing is now with cloud-based system, with kind of consolidating vendors, now I can just have that relationship with one. Like I don't have to have, a point of sale. I don't have four or five, six vendors to run my business. I just have one to handle, all the revenues, the revenue thing sources that are coming in, how I interact with my guests, create those, really nail those experiences that I set forth with my brand. And that's really, I think, where, like you said, yeah, forming those relationships with all their vendors, right? It's not just the farmer, it's not just the broadliner distributor guy who comes in every week. It's, I also have my the guy who sold me the point of sale, and I can count on him to be something goes wrong. So, I mean, we don't want our sales team, fixing things from a product perspective, but sometimes you just need like a hug. You just need like someone,
Yeah.
a human being, to be like, it's gonna be all right. We're gonna fix it for you. We got this. And that's and it continues to work. So yeah, to your point, I think yeah, people are thinking beyond their local purveyors and thinking about technology as being a real partner to them as well.
Well, it's interesting because I just feel like a and I know and I want to talk to you about other industries that y'all serve because I was, spent time on your website and I know you've done well and really just sort of in small business in general. But particularly in hospitality, it's like fascinating to me any comp, when you hear of any company that doesn't have just off the hook great customer service because you're serving people that provide hospitality. It's like how, isn't it obvious that you should provide that same hospitality to them that they were trying to provide to their guests, like going above and beyond and, doing everything possible to make them happy and having like somebody there to talk to? Like it's just fascinating. But
Yeah, we really, one of our mission, one of our values is be the client.
be
Is
the
be the
client.
client.
Yeah.
Like it's truly that. And if we put ourselves in their shoes and we think about the wins and losses that they go through, and be that way and understand that, then we are going to be better than anyone else out there. Technology is going to catch up. Everyone's going to be on the same. We can, but it's not just being innovative in, how cool the UI UX is. It's about being innovative in the way we also in the way we handle our business and treat others. And I think that's really important.
It very much matters to people in hospitality. It matters in every industry, but I mean, 16 years of doing this, I can say it's a huge deal to them. And kudos that y'all have taken that approach. It's very wise and it's, very clear that that's been a big part of why y'all have been so successful. You have a lot of other industries. You serve retail, you serve auto repair shops and a lot of other small businesses. So you really expanded outside of hospitality. Was that, has that been recent or is that part of the original plan?
Yeah, that's always been part of the plan. We really kind of moved into the hospitality space with bringing that restaurant point of sale company into the fold. But yes, we compete. We seem to compete. In Square, like a company like Square, Clover, or payment processing companies like Heartland and Worldpay, all those. With it outside, that's from a whole entire small business SMB world. But then, it's more about, we go up against Toast in the hospitality space, because they're just restaurants. But yeah, I think we do really well in that. I mean, it's one of the thing, because I didn't come from the payment processing world, and really I'm not familiar with it, except that I know that I paid a lot when I was running my own businesses, and I knew enough to survive, and know that how much I didn't want to overpay for nothing. But we really no long-term contracts, no junk fees, very transparent in our pricing. So if you're an auto repair shop, if you're a nail salon, if you're a plumber or whatever, you're going to get a fair deal. We're going to make sure that you're taken care of, and that you know what you're paying. There's no like crazy fees added on for nothing. So, which happens quite often in this business.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I hear that often. Well, tell me about that. You said no, so no long-term contracts. Like, how do y'all do you do annual or what type of terms do y'all?
It's we're literally month to month, and
Month-to-month.
you can really cancel at times. So what we, you know, we have to work every day for our business. It's we can't just write up a 3-year contract and say good luck, you know, and walk away. We have to earn that every day. And again, it goes back to what we were just saying. You know, I think people respect that and having that option, and knowing that, you know, we're there to, we're not going to take advantage of them means a lot.
Tell me about how just generally geographically dispersed are you? And I ask that question because I mean we're kind of everywhere, but we, you know, if you looked at it, like I would say our higher concentration of our customers are in the Southeast and then kind of up the East Coast. We've done well in New York. I mean, we have customers out there in California too, of course, done well in Boulder. I see Toast a lot, like in these areas, particularly it seems like in the Southeast, it's like all over the place. But it seems like a lot of folks that are out West Coast, I hear more about Spot On. Oh, y'all, and you got, I know Chrissy here in Greenville, and you've got folks in all these major markets. Are you seeing a lot of growth in the Southeast in hospitality specifically?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and like you said, well, of course, we're, you know, being California based, San Francisco based, we have more customers here in the state than anywhere else's concentration, New York, Michigan, Florida, Texas. And we have a great team in Atlanta. So Georgia has been, and you know, Atlanta Metro has really blossomed and really done really well. We have Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina. We got a great team. One of our VP sales is based there. So we do, you know, but we've been growing. New York City has seen a ton of growth. And for all the obvious reasons, there's like a bazillion restaurants there. So it only takes a few to and then they all start, you know, like, oh, that's all, you know, they get it. So but yeah, the Southeast has been good to us. Yeah. We slowly, you know, there's certain markets you know, throughout the Midwest that have been slower to emerge, but have, you know, they're coming along, you know, Minneapolis and you know, Milwaukee, Chicago. We have our product team is in Chicago. We have some great brands there, but still kind of emerging. Yeah, Colorado, we have a VP of sales there as well. We've done really well in that state. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you can't do it all in one overnight. You have to kind of slowly grow and get your, you know, get pick your markets and kind of do your, you know, a bit of saturating that market as best you can.
When you, how many salespeople do y'all have?
I think we hover around like 550, 600, so around there. We'll just say 600. And they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Okay. They're in markets.
Yeah, we cover so much ground, and you know, and we you know, the focus from a sales team perspective is, you know, we're trying, everyone's got to sign a restaurant, you know, because we can sell to anyone. But restaurants are much harder to sell. They're longer sales process. They're you know, conversions. It's a bit, you're ripping out the brain and the heart, the everything of a restaurant. It's a big decision. It takes a lot of just a longer sales process. So I know I can, you know, find someone that just doesn't have great rates or has been taken advantage of by another company. I can come in and save them a bunch of money. That sales, from a salesman perspective, it's easy. It's an easy win. But the longer restaurants are stickier, longer sales. So you know, we're pushing, and that's where we're at. You know, that's the company goal.
What do you spend most of your time focused on, Scott?
I'm in partnerships, so we're in our biz dev team handles all the partnerships from our strategic partners, for example, restaurant associations, to our integrated software partners. And recently we just took over the affiliate program, which we now call it's an ally partner program. We renamed it, revamped it. Yeah, and then food service distributors and buying groups and all the people that work within and around the restaurant industry, we have set to make partnerships with to help grow our business, bring in referrals, and it's a referral-based business. So more friends we can make, more business we can get.
For sure. Well, I love that y'all are monthly, man. I just think that's so cool that you have the confidence in the business to say, look, you know, we're not tying you up in this contract. It's month to month. That means you fully, you know, it says to any customer, you're going to have to, as you said, provide the right tool and the right support every single day, because it's very easy for them to make a move. So that is bold and that is awesome that y'all do that. That's rare in your space.
Yeah, it is. But it's working. So this guys that started and the guys that run our executive teams, this is not their first rodeo. they understand the business very well and are truly passionate about small, you know, the business owners. That's the core of our business, for real.
Small business. Yeah. You know, it's amazing doing, you know, talking to, I've done over 400 episodes on this podcast. I wonder what number of yours was, like, you know, it's like maybe 100 or something like that back in the day.
Yeah.
But it really is fascinating to me listening to, you know, folks that are running restaurants, the amount of skills that they have to master and the amount of things they have to think about every day. And you touch on this a little bit in your bio on LinkedIn. I thought it was really cool talking about, you know, you just, whether it's learning it trial by fire or, you know, however it is, or just, you have to learn everything. I mean, you basically touch the entire supply chain. You touch every aspect of the economy when you're running a restaurant. You have to master so many skill sets. I'm always in awe. Like the fact that you did that for as long as you did, like, I tip my hat. I told your brother the same thing. Like, man, there's so much you have to figure out. It's a really impressive skill set. So it's we look at it. I mean, I'm like truly, truly honored to serve the people that we serve, because I think it's an amazing group of people.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think I always think back to when the pandemic started. Hate to keep going back, you know, it's such an interesting period in our lives, running businesses in general, like, you know, and just that idea of, like, you didn't know what was going to happen, but everyone was like, oh, they're all going to, everyone's going to shut down. You know, we didn't know it, but I was steadfast in saying, oh, this is the most resilient group of people in the world. Like, they will battle and fight to save and do what it takes to win, you know. And, you know, so not everyone's going to win and not everyone did, but a lot of people did, you know. And there was some assistance from the government that was, you know, needed and necessary, not enough, but, you know, it's amazing to what people have had to go through to keep their businesses running and still are. It's not really even, there's still a lot of things to still clean up from those couple of years. So, but yeah, you know, maybe it's an interesting. It was always such a interesting time to be, you know, all the things that I had to deal with, right? And then, you know, imagine, you know, I was already out, but imagine them having to do all the day to day and then have something like that being thrown at you was a major curveball. I think that learning all those things, whether knowing how to run a business and manage people and deal with city politics and all that stuff, like, you know, made us strong and it put me in a position to get to be in this position now, and take all those skills and apply it in a new world and a new company and a big company. I was always just the guy that everyone came to. I had like 70 employees at one point. They all came to me. You know, it was like, you know, that's even a skill set there. It's like, well, how do you making decisions every minute practically? How this thing's going to keep moving forward. So, you know, I feel like good that I don't have to deal with that anymore. You know, I did it, but certainly interesting skills, a group of skills that needed to start a business like that.
Making decisions every minute. Dude, you nailed it. That is what I was trying to, that's it. Like, I go and I sit with an owner and we do an episode, and prior, the leading up to it, there's 15 decisions made in 15 minutes. And then as soon as we're done, hey, I need you for the, it is just nonstop. It always just, yeah, I'm just blown away. By how much you're having to just constantly think and make, and a lot of them really important decisions, but then it's like, one, you know, it could be like, so-and-so just walked out on a shift, or it could be the freezer broke and it's 3 a.m. It's just always something. So, so you and I now are fortunate to be able to serve this audience and try to provide a great tool and great support and, you know, make their lives a little easier. So it is an honor. And, dude, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I appreciate what Spot On's doing for the industry. And I'm glad that we got reconnected, man. Like, it's really cool how, like, it's probably been, I mean, what, 3 or 4 years or something like that since we talked. So,
such great catch up, Willis. It's always a pleasure. I feel like these conversations go on for hours and days. You know, it's and then we really scratch the surface with all the crazy stories that come up. And a couple of buddies of mine at work are always like, we have so many stories we could tell from our days of working at a restaurant, you know, whether it's a podcast or a show, a TV show. Like, there's so much, you know, and all the people that have, you know, we've known and met, their stories they could tell. I mean, it's a wild business sometimes, but it's one of those things where, you know, I still have people still to this day. I mean, you know, we had our first date in the restaurant, you know, and yeah. Now I have 3 kids and they're like, you know, in high school, you know, like, holy moly, you know, like, and they like, we wouldn't have met, or we would, you know, that's really, you know, that's very special. So not a lot of business owners can say that. So yeah. There's a lot to it.
Well, cool. Well, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for the time. And I'll follow up with you offline. I'd love to get, you know, I'll be down there in Greenville next week doing an episode. So if I can connect with Chris, he'd be great. But I really appreciate this very much. And we'll talk again soon.
Right on, Will. Thanks, man.
See ya.
Catch you later.